I'd like you to open your Bibles again to Acts chapter 2. And some of you have noticed my rather scary sermon title for today. Dunfermline Pentecostal Church. Is that us? Should it be us? There is no church in Dunfermline called Dunfermline Pentecostal Church. Maybe because Pentecostal is a bit old-fashioned. But should it be us? Well, maybe you're wondering, where am I today? And you've arrived in Dunfermline Free Church, and you think, what's the free all about? Well, Doogie and Donald becoming deacons helped us understand what the free was all about, because they promised something about serving, even under the law of the land, but free from the jurisdiction of the civil government if it impedes on what the church does. We're not ruled by the magistrates. We are ruled by the word of God. And that's what the free stands for. And it came out of the Church of Scotland in 1843. I didn't ask Doogie, but I nearly asked Donald if he remembered that day. But he didn't. Should we be Dunfermline Pentecostal Church? Well, I would say we have to. What I want to bring to your attention today is that the effects of Pentecost have to be ongoing, or there will be no salvation. The effects of Pentecost have to be ongoing, or there will be no salvation. So I want to look this morning at what happened at Pentecost, what it meant, and then what it means for us. So what happened at Pentecost from Acts 2, verse 1 to 13? Pentecost is only in the Bible three times. And each time it refers to a day. It refers to the feast of Pentecost, or the harvest festival, that started 50 days after the Passover, when the last part of the harvest was brought in, a week long of festivity started. And if you think of the disciples on this day of Pentecost, it really has been a pretty special 50 days. Because that Passover that they remembered was a different Passover, because when they had the Passover meal, remember, something changed at it. The Lord Jesus that night took bread, and when he had broke it, when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is broken for you." And then he took the cup of the Passover and made something different, significantly different from the cup of my blood. And then that night, after they stayed in the upper room for a long time, the Lord Jesus was arrested. After praying in the garden, sweating drops of blood, arrested, taken to the high priest, slapped, hit, spat on, mocked, flogged, taken before Pilate, handed over to be crucified, died, and on the third day rose again. And for 40 days he appeared before the disciples. He was with them, maybe not all the time in that 40 days, but over a period of 40 days he made himself known. He came into the room. He was on the shore. About a week before this Pentecost, Jesus was taken from them and he went up into heaven. And then they went into this room. They went back to Jerusalem. And now they're together in a house. 120 of them, Acts 1 tells us, are together as Christians. Not just the small band of disciples, we don't think. And suddenly, there's a noise like a mighty rushing wind. It's a noise, just a noise. When we lived in that place that I'm not going to keep mentioning every week, but we would hear wind. We would hear the wind build up, and if you went out of the house, sometimes you would hold on to the children. People would phone you up and say, "Is that your trampoline that just flew past my window?" It was really quite windy. But there was never a time that we heard the noise of the wind and went outside and, "Oh, it's just a noise." No, it was always there. And in this room, you can imagine it filling this room. Just try and imagine it filling this room, the noise of a mighty rushing wind. And none of your hair is blowing around, and none of you are being lifted off your seats or anything like that. It's just a noise. And then there's the sight that comes down, which is tongues of fire resting on their heads. What did that look like? Oh, I have to confess that being a modern man, I googled, what do tongues of fire resting on people's heads look like? It looks like flames on people's heads. But again, it was like that. And it all happened suddenly. You don't hear Peter saying, look, your head's on fire. Or, Mary, are you okay? Is this a good thing or a bad thing? Do you think they knew exactly what was happening as that happened? And then they start speaking in tongues or in different languages. And it all happened just like that, as the Holy Spirit came into that room and into these people, filled them. They received the Holy Spirit just at that moment. And the sound of a mighty rushing wind. You might think, well, that was a weird thing, but it wasn't a weird thing, because wind and spirit is the same word in Hebrew. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 3, the spirit was hovering over the waters. The ruach was hovering over the waters. And then when you look at the life of Elijah, for instance, you find that the ruach, the spirit, was there, and it's the spirit of God. And so spirit and wind have always been associated with each other. So they should have known from the sound of what they heard. And then the tongues of fire. Well, if you would see that, I think if you knew your Old Testament, you would say, God's there. Because remember when God appeared to Moses and said, I am who I am. What happened to the bush? It burned, but it was not consumed. And here we have tongues of fire coming down. You might think, well, fire coming, all of a sudden dangerous. Some fire coming and nothing's consumed. But they should have known when the fire came, because you remember in Luke chapter 3 and verse 16, John the Baptist speaks of Jesus saying, I baptize with water, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. So the sign comes, they receive the Holy Spirit, and they start to speak in other tongues. Now, I want to be clear that we think, when I say we, I'm going with lots of other Christians here and say, we believe this was languages. This was other languages. Why do we believe it was other languages? Because all the people around them, verse 11 tells you, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. We understand what they're saying. Some made fun of them and said they've had too much wine. But those who were thinking, those who were hearing, they heard in their own language. And so what happened that day was the Holy Spirit came on the disciples. And then it meant an awful lot for them. When we ask, what did it mean? We start to see lots of things happen because of what happened then. I want to summarize verse 14 to verse 41, and next week, God willing, to go into verse 14 to 41 more fully. But really what it tells us in verse 17 and from verse 17 to verse 21 is that what happened was that the prophecies were fulfilled. And the prophecies announce that in the last days, God says, I'll pour out my spirit on all people. And men are going to start prophesying, and all of these things are going to happen. And really, what the difference that is going to make, when it says verse 20, the sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. That's probably happened at the cross when darkness came over the earth during the daytime. But the end result of it is that verse 21 stands, and everyone who calls in the name of the Lord will be saved. When the Spirit comes and the church is blessed, then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So what it meant was that these days had started to be fulfilled, and the Spirit is now poured out. And because of this, and it's all happened because of this Jesus of Nazareth. Men of Israel, remember he's speaking to Jews. He's saying to them, listen to this. Jesus did great things among you. Then verse 23, Jesus was handed over to you. How? Now, look at wee words halfway through verse 23. By God's set purpose and foreknowledge. This isn't your plan, this is God's plan. And then he was put in the cross. Verse 24, but God raised him from the dead. It was impossible for death to hold him. So he has not remained dead. And now he has ascended up into the heavens. You read the quotation of Psalm 16 because Jesus is accredited by Paul here as now being in the heavenly realms. He, more than being exalted and raised, he has been given all authority, verse 33, exalted to the right hand of God the Father. That's where he is. He sat at the right hand of God. This is what it means. The Holy Spirit has come. Jesus has lived amongst you. Jesus has died for your sins and in your place. Jesus has been raised from the dead. Jesus has been exalted. Jesus has now sent the Holy Spirit to you. This is what has happened. The Holy Spirit has come because of what happened to Jesus Christ. It's an order that now he has been put to the right hand of God. He has received from the Father the Holy, promised Holy Spirit. So Jesus has received this Holy Spirit that you have just encountered in the room here. And now he has poured out what you now see and hear. So Jesus has poured out this Holy Spirit on you. And so what it means is that God is surely still with you. If anybody has any doubt as to the doctrine of the Trinity, that we have one God who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you read verse 33, exalted to the right hand of God, that's Jesus. He's received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear. You see Father, Son, and Holy Spirit all in action in that verse. And what happens is that now they have received the Holy Spirit. The language that's used in Acts chapter 2 goes that they received the Holy Spirit. It says that they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And in Acts chapter 1, Jesus told them, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father has promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So, it's one thing that's happened here. They have been baptized in the Holy Spirit. What difference did it mean for them? Well, it meant that they start speaking languages that maybe they didn't fully understand themselves, or prior to that they didn't understand themselves. But it meant for Peter, get behind me, Satan, Peter. Deny me three times, Peter. Restore to fellowship with the Lord Jesus, Peter. It meant for Peter that he stands up and he says, men of Israel, listen to this. This is what's happened. And he gets this boldness and this great concise and deliberate thought where he's able to tell them everything that's just happened. He's able to say, this is what the scriptures meant. And he's able to preach a message about Jesus Christ and what they did to Jesus. This Jesus who was handed over by God's set purpose and foreknowledge. And you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. Says that. What's the result of it? What is the result of it? When the people heard this, verse 37, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? What do we do because of what we've done to Jesus Christ? What do we do because of what God has done to Jesus Christ in raising him and exalting him and the Holy Spirit coming? Well, what you are to do is repent and be baptized, and you will receive the promised Holy Spirit. You will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. How is that possible? It's possible because of verse 21. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. This is what happened that day. And so the ministry of the apostles began in earnest. And it was a great time of excitement, a time of great danger, a time of great hardships, but a time that really started to change the world. What does it mean for us? Well, what it means for us today in Dunfermline Free Pentecostal Church is that we have received the Holy Spirit. Why does it mean that? Verse 38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. That whoever the Lord has called into service, whoever the Lord has called to repentance, they have all received the Holy Spirit. We don't think verse 38 is supposed to be an order, repent, then be baptized, then receive the Holy Spirit. No, we believe that when you repent, when you believe in the Lord Jesus, you receive that Holy Spirit. It isn't something that happens after you're baptized. But being baptized is something that people who repent would want to do. Remember, these people hadn't been baptized before in any way or anything like that. And so when they receive the Holy Spirit, they're changed. And as you go through the book of Acts, you find more people receiving the Holy Spirit. And you find people being filled with the Holy Spirit. And you know, just in case some people are thinking, well, what goes on here? Because it does get confusing, especially in the last 120 years. Maybe some of you will remember that far back. But what happened is the Pentecostal movement did happen about then, when it said you need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit as a second blessing. And then you need to keep on being filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, what we would say is you receive the Holy Spirit and he's not taken from you. But there can be times when you are filled with the Holy Spirit again. In Acts chapter 10, the same men who were in this room, it tells us that they were full of the Holy Spirit and joy. And it was like they were again filled with it. Well, what does it all mean? Well, let me illustrate by going back up north. If you come up on a wee tourist trail into the Highlands with me, the midges are out, so you stay in your car. But as you drive along the roads, you see the hydroelectric dams, big reservoirs full of water with the sluice gates with a big wall at the end. Sometimes you see those reservoirs and we would drive past them and say, well, the reservoir's a bit empty just now. And then other times you'd see it quite full when there'd been lots of rain. And one time we passed Lagan Dam near Spion Bridge and the sluice gates were open. And the water was pouring out of these three big tunnels at an almighty force and with tremendous noise. And you could see the effect of the outpouring on other things. You could see the spray come up almost hitting you up at the road. It was so fierce. All the time there was water, sometimes there was more water, and sometimes the effect of the water was better known. When we have the Holy Spirit, we always have the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we need filled with the Holy Spirit for different purposes. We need different kinds of wisdom. We need different kinds of help. And sometimes the result of us having the Holy Spirit will be more evident than at other times. And what would you call that? Well, generally it's been called revivals. And what do revivals look like? They look like men who have received the Holy Spirit being emboldened to go out and proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. And because the Holy Spirit is active in the preaching and in the hearing of the word, people say, like they did in verse 37, brothers, what shall we do? And so when people hear it, they're told to repent and be baptized. Why don't we see it in every place and all the time? Maybe because we're not actually asking for it too often that the Holy Spirit would come. But maybe it's because of the John 3 answer. What is that? The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you can't tell where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. It comes and goes. It's God. It's God who comes. It's not something that I'm going into the Holy Spirit cupboard just now and I'll get him out and then we'll have great blessing here. No, it's God who comes. It's God who is sovereign who comes. It's God who is pouring out his Holy Spirit from heaven who comes. and when he comes, and fills his people again and again, then there is great changes. Now, please ask, what am I to do with this? Do you know, I don't want to keep on quoting Spurgeon, and I told myself I wouldn't say this quote ever again to you, because I've said it already, and I'll try and not say it every time. You can't have too much of the Holy Spirit. Don't be scared of the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Don't go and ask people to lay hands on you so that you would receive the Spirit. Ask God to fill you with his Holy Spirit, because that's what God does. He fills his people with his Spirit. He especially gives them what they need for the situations that they're in. Are we Dunfermline Pentecostal Church? Well, not in the 120-year-old Pentecostal way. Pentecostal's really a pretty bad name for it. Are we a Spirit-filled church? We should be. Are we a church that's received the Holy Spirit? We can't be the church unless we've received the Holy Spirit. We can't be the church unless the Holy Spirit has blessed the message and people have received that salvation. Because if we're not a Spirit-receiving church, then people won't hear this message with the authority of the apostles and respond to it saying, "Brothers, what shall we do?" You will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You will receive him if you repent of your sins. You will receive him when you turn to Jesus Christ and ask him to be your Savior. You will be changed on that moment and in that day, and you'll become, there's a really fancy technical term for it, you'll become a Christian. Okay? That's what you'll become when you receive the Holy Spirit. And what difference will it make to you? You won't start walking in water. You won't start getting muscles like Popeye or flying like Banana Man. And I don't think you'll be doing great miraculous things all on your own. But do you know how we'll know that you've received the Holy Spirit? Listen. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and a big one, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. What does it mean to be a Christian? It means to have changed your mind, to have repented, turned your back on ungodliness, turned your back on sin, and you receive the promised Holy Spirit. Because if I was to say to you, you have to be a Christian and you have to become a loving, joyful, peaceful, patient, kind, good, faithful, gentle, and self-controlled person, you say, I can't on my own. True, you can't on your own, but the gifts of the Spirit are that he has come into you and he has done that. The fruit of the Spirit is that he has come into you and he has done that. Are we Dunfermline Pentecostal Church, Dunfermline Spirit-filled Church? We have to be. We have to be recognizing that we need Jesus to die for our sin and we need him for our salvation. But we must also receive the Spirit as he is sent. We have to have received the Holy Spirit, because we're not Christians without the Holy Spirit. And listen to this. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. You can only be a resurrection person if you are a Holy Spirit-filled person, if the Holy Spirit has come into your life. Now, if there's anybody here today who says, I don't think I've received the Holy Spirit, I think you're saying, I don't think I'm a Christian. And if you don't think you're a Christian, then what are you to do? Repent. Turn from your sin. Change your mind and believe in this Jesus who you crucified according to God's set purpose, who God raised from the dead and exalted and who is now poured out in his Holy Spirit on. And be baptized if you haven't been baptized and you have repented of your sin. And you will, in doing that, receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And if you receive that gift, he will be in your life and he will be in your death, and you'll be with him forever. Let's pray.